Personally, I don't care much for birthdays. The most important day for me is the day that I came to Christ. That's the most important day for me. The second most important day is the day I proposed to my wife. And she looked at me and she said yes. I remember those days in my life because they are days that changed the trajectory of my life. Most of you have important days in life that you celebrate, that you cannot forget. You've marked them everywhere to remember them. The Jews too have one of the most important days for them. It is the Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur in Hebrew. Atonement, as Jeremy here told us, atonement is the act of forgiveness and reconciliation that makes it possible for worship to be acceptable to God. In Leviticus, the Day of Atonement was instructed by God, and it only happened once a year. This is what happens in atonement. The high priest, who is consecrated, bathes himself to cleanse himself, and then he puts on the sacred garments that are designed for that occasion. And then the high priest brings for himself a bull. This bull is for his sins and the sins of his household. And then he also takes two goats from the community, from the people of Israel. And these two gods, he cast lots to determine which one is the Lord's God and which one will be the scapegoat. The Lord's God is the God that will be sacrificed for all the sins of the nation of Israel. The scapegoat is the one that will carry the sins and guilt of the people away from the camp. Then the high priest will take burning incense to enter the most holy place. This incense is meant to fill the room with smoke, scented smoke, to protect the high priest from seeing the Ark of the Covenant, also known as the testimony, because it contains a copy of the Ten Commandments. And as he enters the holy place, the most holy place, he carries with him the blood of the bull that he has slaughtered for his own sins and the sins of his household. And then inside the most holy place, he would anoint the covering of the Ark of the Covenant. And then he would slaughter the goat that is designated for the Lord and do the same with the blood, and then come out and make atonement for the tabernacle and the altar. And then when he's done making atonement for the tabernacle, for the most holy place, the tabernacle and the altar, he will take the living goat, the goat that still remains, and he would put his hands on the goat's head and confess all the sins of the nation. All the sins of the nation. And then someone will take that goat and go with it to the wilderness and release it there. And that goat symbolizes that their sins are not only forgiven, but their guilt is taken far, far away from them. And after he is done, the nation of Israel is declared clean from sin. In brief, that's how atonement happened. It's important for us to know that the high priest here is a mediator between the nation of Israel and God. But it's also important for us to realize that this high priest is also fallen short of the glory of God. That's why he has to make an offering, a sacrifice for himself first, so that he can be acceptable to God before he represents the people to the Lord. The high priest here is a mediator between God and the people. The high priest must be very careful so that he doesn't see the Ark of the Covenant where the mercy seat is. The mercy seat is where God meets with you. And if the high priest sees it, God strikes him dead. That's what happens to the sons of Aaron. That's how serious the Lord is about worship. That's how serious the Lord is concerning his holiness. It's important for us to also realize that the high priest, the sacrifices, and the scapegoat are only shadows. The reality is Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, says that there is only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So as God instructs his people to follow this ritual, year by year, God is reminding his people of the greatest high priest that would come, which is Jesus Christ. As they slaughter the animals to make sacrifices, God is reminding them of Jesus Christ, who would come and be sacrificed once and for all. Everything happening here is a shadow. The reality is in Jesus Christ. Just as the flag, the American flag, is a symbol, it is a symbol of freedom, reminds us of the people that fought for freedom, for this land. And one of the rituals that we have is July 4th. Meant to remind people that there are people who fought for this land, and there is a day that is so important for us. For us Christians, our symbol is the cross. We look at the cross and we are reminded of the reality of the death of Jesus Christ, who shed his blood. Such that today we can ask ourselves, what can wash away my sins? And the answer will always be nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. The cross is the symbol of our salvation. The cross is the symbol of our hope. Because as we look at the cross and we see Jesus dying there, we know that he is dying for us. As we look at the cross and we see it empty, we know that the Jesus that died there is alive today. That's why the cross is not only the symbol of our salvation, it's also the symbol of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I don't think you understand this. A story is told of a child that was playing, and then she decided to cross the road. And as she was crossing the road carelessly, There was a drunk driver that was coming without even looking around. The drunk driver driving by was going to hit the child. There was a lady who was watering her flowers, and she saw it happening, and she ran and pushed that child away. And the car hit her, and she lost both her legs. She pushed this child away and saved her life, but she lost her legs. When you think of the cross of Jesus Christ, think of yourself. Think of yourself and how fallen you are and you have been. Think of yourself heading to that cross, because that cross is for you. Think of yourself going to hell, because day by day you have disobeyed the Lord. Day by day you have sinned. Day by day you've fallen short of the glory of God. You've not listened to His voice. See yourself going to hell. And just before you get there, Jesus shows up and He pushes you away and He takes your place on the cross. And you think about that. And you look at Jesus dying on the cross, and you can only say from your heart that when He died on the cross, He died in my place. That death was not His death. He died because He made my problems His problems. He died because He took my sins with Him and faced the penalty, the death penalty that my sins deserve. And you look at that as a child of God, as someone that has believed in Jesus Christ, you must be able to say that when He died there, He died in my place. Isaiah 53 makes this very clear, gives us a very good image. Isaiah 53, in verse 7, it tells us He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. In verse 10, the Lord makes His life a guilt offering. In verse 12, He poured out His life unto death. And in finally, He bore the sin of many, in verse 12 again. One of the greatest challenges many Christians go through is the idea of not accepting that God has forgiven us. It's the challenge of not fully accepting God's forgiveness. And as such, many Christians, even though they have been forgiven, they have been set free, their guilt has been taken away, they continue to suffer in guilt, not because they have not been forgiven, but because they have not accepted and appreciated the forgiveness of God. And that's why psychologists have come up with terms like, you need to forgive God. In fact, we had someone who came to teach here, and he emphasized the idea of forgiving God. I think that's a doctrine of the devil. You have no power to forgive God. And the other idea that psychologists also promote is the idea of forgiving yourself. There is nothing like that in the scripture. When you are struggling with guilt, it's not because God has not forgiven you. It's not because you have not forgiven yourself. It's because you have not accepted God's forgiveness. And one of the reasons we find it difficult to accept that the Lord has forgiven us is because we did not do anything about it. It's because we are only required to trust Him, to trust His word. And that's hard for some of us. And the enemy will always use that guilt to deny you, to deprive you the peace that the Lord wants you to have. He will always bring back things that you've done in your lives so that you can feel guilty. And every time you feel guilty, you don't enjoy the peace of God. And I will ask if you are one of those people that today you take this time to ask the Lord to help you accept His forgiveness so that you can enjoy the peace that He wants you to have. When Jesus Christ died on that cross, He died for us. He shed His blood that makes it possible for us to be forgiven. He shed His blood that washes away our sins. And therefore, on a day like this, as we celebrate communion, we don't remember the animals that were sacrificed. We don't remember the scapegoat that was taken to the wilderness. We remember Jesus Christ who died for us. Because when He died on that cross, He died on our cross. He died on your cross and mine. And if Jesus is not yet your Savior, if you have not yet turned to Him, you've not yet believed in Jesus Christ, today can be your day. Look at yourself, because every step that you are taking, it's bringing you closer to hell. Every step that you take without Jesus Christ, it's moving you far and far away from Jesus Christ. It's taking you to hell. Jesus has provided a way for you, and the only thing you need to is to believe in that and turn to Him today. Repent, ask Him to forgive you and to save you. Turn to Jesus Christ. Just say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I am a sinner, please forgive me and save me." And the Bible says when we do that, when we make that confession from our hearts, the Holy Spirit will come in and He will begin to transform us. Immediately, you will be a new creation. As far as God is concerned, the old is gone, the new has come, and you will begin to experience that new life as the Lord continues to transform you day by day, because you become a child of God. You see, Jesus died for us all, but not everyone will experience the impact of His death unless they turn to Him for salvation. God loves us, but not everyone will experience the impact of God's love unless that person realizes that he is a sinner and turn to the Lord for forgiveness and for salvation. So the idea that Christ died for us doesn't mean that everyone is getting a free ride. It means He's giving us an opportunity to realize our fallenness and turn to Him. It means He has opened a door for us. It means He's inviting us to come in. But for those of us that have already believed in Jesus Christ, take this as a reminder. Look at Jesus dying on the cross. Imagine yourself being replaced by Christ Imagine yourself being pushed away from that cross so that Christ can take your place. Taking your death, taking your pain, taking your guilt with Him and facing the death penalty that you and I deserve. And this is what brings us here today. And I'm going to remind you, if you are not yet a believer, this celebration, this communion is not for you. But if you take time right now to turn to the Lord by faith, then you can join us and celebrate the communion. This is a ritual that we have to remember the Lord who died for us, the Lord that took our place. It is the message that we all share in Jesus Christ, because the cross is our symbol of hope and the core of the gospel that we preach here. I'm going to ask the elders to please come forward as we prepare ourselves to remember this.